Yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. And the big question is are we there yet? So are we there yet? When I was a small child, I asked my mother that question often when we were going on trips. And as a father, I was also asked that question often from my own children. It was hard not to ask because I was either excited to go where we were going or maybe just a little tired of the trip itself. So, to understand, let us try to understand what our final destination will be. We see ourselves in the future in a secure place that's free of pain, free of envy, and free of hate. We're in a place that our Father has made for us, a place that He planned for us. A place that has only one ruling government, one set of teachings, a place without war, and a place without disease. How do we get there? What is our roadmap to this destination? I look out in the world we live in, and I don't see a place like this. I say quite the opposite. This world we currently live in is not the final result of God's master plan. This world we live in is currently under Satan's control and is based on false teachings. As I grew up, I used to watch a TV show. Probably some of you did see The Twilight Zone. And in the beginning of each show, the host, Rod Serling, would come out and give the viewer some clues as to what the episode was going to be about. And oftentimes, the show did not end the way you expected it to. In many cases, we were caught up in this story that presented itself to be a true and believable passing through life, with the idea it had to a true vision or hope, a sense of security. And at the end, you find that it was quite the opposite. I don't want to sound so dreary and hopeless because we know better. We know that God has a plan for us, and if we only obey Him, place our faith in Him, We will not ask if we are there yet. We are all on a journey to the kingdom of God, and each Sabbath we keep, holy day we keep, each time we pray, we are getting a little closer to that destination. God has a master plan. A plan that is about to materialize into something that we can see and experience. God has a plan with a purpose. We are just not a product of an unplanned evolutionary event. I have to wonder why anyone would think that we are all an accident and not planned. Unfortunately, I work with many people that don't believe that we were created by God, but just an evolutionary product from a cosmic explosion, which is referred to by some as the Big Bang Theory. I could be wrong about some of these facts, but my understanding is there was no universe, no light of any kind, but just a black abyss. And at some point in time, two components joined together, which caused an explosion. This explosion was of massive heat believed to be as high as 10 million degrees. This reaction caused the simplest elements to form. The gravity gradually which drew matter together to form the first stars and galaxies. The problem is that I have with that theory is how can anything with any measurable degree of intelligence, that would be us, exist without being produced by something else with a higher level of intelligence that already exists with the ability to love, which is God. Sadly, God is left out of this belief, and how do we know that God wasn't the one that triggered this cosmic event? Well, I can tell you, probably is because if you read in John 5 in verse 43 to 44, you may find the answer to this. In verse 44, it says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another one comes in his name, you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Sounds like an influence from Satan. Satan is obviously influencing this theory, and that more lies is told and more it becomes, the more lies that are told, the more it becomes as believed to be true. That happens with anything. The more you tell a lie, the truth that becomes the truth. We're talking about a dark abyss. And in Genesis 1 and verse 2, it says, when God began to form the universe, the world was void and vacant. Darkness lay over the abyss. Sounds familiar. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This verse clearly states that the world was void and vacant, a dark abyss, until it was created by Him. Let's take a look at Isaiah 40 in verse 21. It says, this is, I'm reading actually from the James Moffat in this scripture. Can you not understand and can you not see? Were you not told from the first, we have not grasped? Have you not grasped this since the world began? That He sits over the round earth, so high that its inhabitants look like grasshoppers. He spreads the skies out like a curtain and stretches them like a tent. To whom then will you compare me? Then an equal me? Asked the majestic one. Lift high your eyes, look up. Who made these stars? He who marshaled them in order, summoning them each one by name. For fear of Him, so mighty is strong, none that fails to appear. Why do you complain, O Jacob? And why do you cry, O Israel? My fate, the eternal, never notices. My rights are unregarded by my God. In other words, as the result of the penalties of my life, the sentence has been passed over and disregarded. So that's a God of compassion not only a creator, but someone who loves us. Come now, do you not understand? Have you not heard that the eternal is everlasting God, the maker of the world from end to end? God's awesome purpose for mankind and his son, Jesus Christ, also has an important role in God's often misunderstood plan. This is an outline line in the form of seven festivals. We are approaching the last four festivals of the seven annual observances of God's plan. This plan is vividly portrayed through a step-by-step observance of God's plan. Step-by-step overview, using each Sabbath and holy day as an example of how God's master plan for all mankind. So let's go back before Passover. If you remember, we were all just little tiny spring blossoms, waiting to be grown into a great equality first fruit. But in order for us to become that first fruit, we need to be watered by God's Holy Spirit, nourished by God's inspired messages, and pruned by the trials that we face every day, so that we can be harvested as first fruits. First, we prepared ourselves for the Passover by cleaning the leavening, which is clearly a symbol of sin, out of our lives. Sin from our lives to become worthy to take the Passover. Then we were commanded to eat bread, unleavened bread, for 7 days, which symbolizes the opposite of sin. In other words, obedience to God. But let us not forget one very important part of this holy day, and that is the wave sheaf offering. It is not a ceremony that is done any longer, but we still counted 50 days from the Sunday that falls within the week of the holy days of the days of unleavened bread. Marking that day as the day that the wave sheaf was offered, that Jesus Christ was accepted by his Father as a spiritual wave sheaf offering in heaven. Christ therefore fulfilled the symbolism of the Old Testament wave sheaf offering. He was the first resurrected Son of God, the first harvested product of God's master plan. As I mentioned earlier, that after 50 days had passed, we observed the day of Pentecost. This holy day pictures the first fruits of God's master plan. It's also the day that the Spirit of God was freely given to all of us that have been baptized. The free gift of God's Holy Spirit made it possible for us to carry out his work to preach the gospel. These steps that we're taking up to now to reach the kingdom of God's purpose for putting man on earth was to train him for rulership in the kingdom of God. God's goal is to create a God family. Originally, God set the archangel Lucifer on earth to administer the government of God over the earth alone with the angels that he had placed here. But God's government ceased to administer on earth, then Lucifer, now Satan, rebelled against the Creator. Then God gave Adam the opportunity to replace Satan as world ruler. Adam failed by making the wrong choice to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, rejecting God's government and choosing self-government instead. The kingdom of God is composed of a divine family. God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Spirit begotten sons and daughters, who will be the first fruits now in training, waiting for the first resurrection to be born of God, to become part of that divine ruling kingdom. So let me leave you with this. Are we there yet? Well, we're almost, but not quite. We still just like I said earlier, we are all on a journey to the kingdom of God. Each Sabbath that we keep, and each holy day that we keep, each time we pray in to God, we are getting a little closer to the final destination.